The name Dick Smith is almost as Australian as kangaroo or koala. Well, that's how it appears to me. I think as a teenager, Dick first came to my attention when I had an interest in CB radios. And apart from the fact he sold them through his Dick Smith outlets, he was warning us not to buy them from fly-by-night operators who might fall foul of finance companies and then not be able to provide backup service. What he told us was that he was able to provide that backup service because he'd bought his sets for cash. So even way back then, he was offering all sorts of advice on a myriad of different issues. Of course, following his entrepreneurial lifestyle, we went on to things like the Civil Aviation Safety Authority. And one of his famous quotes, we need affordable safety. And his clashes with the Civil Aviation Safety Authority were almost as legendary as the late Kerry Packer's clashes with the Australian Tax Office. It's probably fair to say that the guy's also been fairly active politically. In fact, Dick Smith could best be described as a capitalist with a social conscience. Now, he says he's going to stand for Tony Abbott's seat in Parliament, which is the seat of Warringah. And what's more, he says he wants to do it in a bid to improve aviation safety. But here's the catch. Dick hopes he won't win. And Dick joins us on the program right now. I have to say, some may argue, Dick, that you are a man of true contradictions.
Are you going to call me a rat bag, Chris?
No, I said a man of contradictions.
I'd be proud to be called a rat bag. A typical Australian rat bag is a great compliment.
Now, why are you going to stand for a seat that you hope you don't win?
Well, it's to try and get some publicity for an incredibly important issue. About 15 years ago, it was decided that Australia should follow the North American air traffic control system, where wherever you have radar coverage, you have controlled airspace for airline jets. But we haven't actually done that. So there are airports like Ballina, which admittedly is over here on the East Coast, where once the airline jet goes below 8,500 feet, even though there's very good radar coverage down below that, the plane actually has to turn off the radar frequency and go on to the aerodrome frequency and then call up to see if there are other planes in the cloud and basically arrange self-separation. In other words, instead of using the air traffic controller with the radar in the radar center to control the aircraft, it becomes a do-it-yourself system.
That sounds fraught with danger.
It is, and we've got away with it, but it's totally ridiculous. We decided to follow what they do in America and Canada, where wherever you have radar coverage, you have controlled airspace for airline aircraft, especially when they're in cloud, and it means that they're separated from other aircraft and it gives a high degree of safety.
Yeah, I must admit there are some areas of air safety that I've had some great concerns about. Like, for example, we here in West Australia, once people leave the Perth area control, they're under the control of either Melbourne or Brisbane, and it seems there isn't any major area control over this side of the country, which I have to say I would think is rather concerning.
Well, that's only concerning if there was a breakdown in the communications. And, of course, a plane that's flying to South Africa ends up being controlled from Melbourne. If it was controlled from Perth, it still is a huge distance across the Indian Ocean. With modern satellite communications, the distance is not quite the problem.
Now, this aviation issue, is that really the sole issue that you wish to stand for the Prime Minister's seat and the sole issue upon which you wish to draw attention? This is so serious, you believe you should make this a political issue at a federal election?
Yes, because it's such an important issue with me. I've always been interested in aviation reform, and then to get this latest award, I've got an AC, and that's the highest award you can get, and it actually says for aviation reform, but I haven't done the aviation reform. I felt quite guilty about that. And it's so basic what we need to do. In other countries, presumably, they've ended up with an accident, and then you have a Royal Commission. After hundreds of people are dead, you then fix the problem. I think we should fix it before then, especially considering its government policy.
Oh, you have definitely become a ratbag now, because you're actually advocating that we don't practice tombstone engineering.
Absolutely. I'm saying that we use, by copying the success of others around the world, we actually bring in the safety improvement before we have the accident.
Seems to make a lot of sense. Why is there resistance to this? Let me guess. Some bean counter somewhere's brought up a spreadsheet and said, you know what, if we don't do this, we can save X number of dollars.
It's a little bit of that, but a lot of it's the pilots. It's amazing. Many professional pilots in Australia believe it's better for them to be, in effect, the air traffic controller and calling up to other planes in the cloud. They don't believe it can be done properly from air traffic control in the centre. Now, if you're experienced at flying overseas, and I've done 5 flights around the world, you start to realise that it can be done a lot better using modern procedures when you've got radar coverage. I'm mostly told here by pilots, oh, Dick, We don't have as much radar coverage as the USA, and that's true. But say around Perth and then from Adelaide to Melbourne to Cairns, we have very good radar coverage, so surely we should be able to copy the way they use radar in that airspace.
And how long has this been an issue? I remember that you, and I quoted you at the start of the program, I remember when you were the head of CASA, you made the comment once that we need affordable safety. Maybe you'd like to define that for us.
Yeah, no, not we need. I just said that safety has always been limited by what the marketplace can afford. It's always been affordable safety. I used to say, can you imagine unaffordable safety? That's impossible. And because safety is limited by what the marketplace can afford, you never have enough money to do every safety feature. So what you've got to do is be very astute in allocating those resources to give the maximum level of safety. In the case of these airports that don't use the radar, you may as well use it because you've got an air traffic controller sitting twiddling thumbs in the air traffic control centre, and the pilot can simply be told, look, comply with the air traffic controller. That controller will be responsible to keep you apart from other aircraft and to keep you from flying into a mountain.
I find it remarkable that pilots are saying, hey, we don't want a system like that. I would have thought some sort of secondary assistance might actually have appealed to them.
It's amazing that not so long ago a commercial pilot was flying into Benalla, which is just north of Melbourne, and the plane started to head to a point 7 miles off course. What had happened is the GPS navigator had had a fault. Now, the alarm system went off 3 or 4 times in the air traffic control centre because initially the pilot was in controlled airspace at high flight levels. It was descending into uncontrolled airspace. Now, the air traffic controller didn't tell the pilot of the alarm going off, because the air traffic controller said, oh, look, the pilot's going into uncontrolled airspace. It's his problem. And, of course, the plane hit a mountain. Everyone was killed. And you'd think that would get pilots a bit worried. But most of the pilots said, oh, it was that pilot who was at fault. He was stupid. I'd never do that.
Well, how would a pilot know if a GPS was giving him a wrong indication, if it indicated that where he was where it said he was when he wasn't there?
Absolutely right. But it's amazing. It's mainly about resistance to change. So in Australia, we were trained in a system that didn't maximise the use of radar, that had lots of uncontrolled airspace. So even now, up around Parapadu and Mount Newman, where I've recently been flying, it's all uncontrolled airspace. And so people believe that with controlled airspace, the delays would be too great or it would cost too much money. In fact, all of those things are wrong. If we went overseas and looked at what they do in Canada and in the USA, you'd realise that you can do it in a lot safer way at hardly an extra cost. Now, by the way, you're a little bit right with the bean counters. There will be a slight extra cost because you'd have to train the air traffic controllers, the ones in the Melbourne and Brisbane centre, you'd have to train them to do the approach work at these airports, and that's something we haven't done in the past.
And therein lies the problem. The moment you start to talk about spending money, the bean counters go, oh, you can't do this.
Yeah, let me give you an example. At Newman, there's a fire station there. Now, it's completely around the wrong way. Normally, you put in controlled airspace, then you put in a control tower, and then you then put in a fire station because you want to prevent the chance of an accident happening first. But in Australia, we've got it upside down, and so we've put the fire station in at Newman, but there's not even a radio operator at the airport and no controlled airspace. So it's completely ridiculous. When I explain that to people overseas, they say, I must be mistaken.
Now, obviously, your plan is to draw attention to this, which leads me to believe that deep down, you're probably not really thinking about starting a political career or anything like this. Do you think, though, this will be successful in drawing the kind of attention you want drawn to this issue?
Well, what else can you do? Look, it's for me to stand in Tony Abbott's seat. It's just near where I live, and I don't want to become a politician at 71, but I just think it will get the most incredible amount of publicity because every talk I give will be on this issue, and many people here fly to these airports and they're absolutely amazed that that could be happening. I will also mention the other thing I'm interested in, and that is that you have Tony Abbott and indeed all our politicians talking about perpetual growth, and that's impossible. Most Australians don't want a 50 million or 100 million or a billion in Australia. They realise one day you have to live in balance, and that's what most Aussies would support.
Dick Smith, as always, a pleasure, and thank you very much for being available to us.
Great to talk to you again. Thank you.